Juliet Capulet, Hester Prynne, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, Eponine Thénardier. Some of the most memorable female characters in classic literature, with one big commonality. They are all widely considered to be tragic heroines. Even though our character today is often considered another great tragic heroine, we think she falls just short. She's not a tragic heroine, she's just tragic. Hi, and welcome to Understudies, a podcast where we try to shine a spotlight on the characters in facts or fiction who aren't necessarily considered the star of the show. Call them side characters, supporting cast, or whatever, we like to think of them as simply understudied, and want to give them a little extra attention. Some of the characters and figures we'll be discussing might in fact be the main character to certain stories or areas of study, but we're trying to address them as they've come to be known to a wide audience. While we might not be experts in each area we try to cover, we know that some of you absolutely are, and we hope you'll reach out with some feedback or extra info that we are likely to leave out. We're also open to suggestions if there's a character or figure you'd like to listen to on the show. We're so excited to explore the personalities and characteristics that contributed to some of the most impactful and memorable stories ever told, true or imagined. Tragedy touches or befalls each of the characters I mentioned earlier to some degree, and no author contributed more significantly to the library of classic tragedy than Mr. William Shakespeare. Do you have a favorite Shakespeare tragedy, or just Shakespeare anything?
I really enjoy Midsummer Night's Dream, but I think that's mostly because of the interpretation that is run with in Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
It's hard to take something Neil Gaiman runs with without appreciation.
Yeah, it's a pretty good job. Wonderful. I would like to be more versed in Hamlet as I get older. I mean, that can be said about so many of these like classic works and stuff, but again, getting beside myself.
Well, you're in luck today because today's character is a winner of the popular vote on our Twitter poll for where our inspiration should come from for this episode. We are talking about a Shakespeare character. And beyond that, we're talking about a Hamlet character. Today, our character is Ophelia. Ophelia has been interpreted anytime Hamlet has, which has just been countless ever since its inception. We've got so many iterations of Hamlet these days. But
it's like the arc, it defined like revenge fiction, basically.
Yeah, I kind of tend to think of it as the most famous of his work. I mean, definitely the way we think of it now, maybe not necessarily at the time when it was received, but I mean, come on. So Hamlet is just brimming with complex, conflicted characters all vying for the attention of the reader or the viewer if you're experiencing the story on stage, which is lucky because that's the best way to experience Shakespeare as he intended.
So
not to brag, I can't not brag. I've gotten to see Hamlet at the Globe Theater in London, which was Shakespeare's theater. I didn't know this at the time. It was gender bent night on stage, so all the female actors played traditionally male characters and vice versa.
Wow.
It was a really interesting way to like view it. I mean, that was the first time I had seen Hamlet staged at all, but Wait. Getting to see it for the first time that way was really interesting.
I bet that kind of like, I mean, that that surely changes like a lot like of the like subtext and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, it was a really interesting perspective because
not that that's bad, to be clear. That sounds
right.
Awesome.
It was great. Not what we expected, but definitely a cool surprise. Gosh, everybody over there is so talented, and it was such a cool place to be. I'm really glad we got to see that at least once. I skipped it on my first visit to London, so we had to come back around on the second time. But it was awesome. As we know, male actors typically played all the parts in Shakespeare's day, which is kind of what we hear. We hear it a lot. But it was really cool to see this incredibly talented, in my opinion, he was my favorite actor in the performance. But getting to see that actor portraying Ophelia and kind of imagining back to that Shakespeare time where a man would have played her role, because I got to see a man playing her role in that night.
Yeah, on stage.
And it wasn't that they took the characters and gender bent their interpretation. It was literally just the actors. So he came in this beautiful dress. It was really neat. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really cool. He did an awesome job. But yeah. So Ophelia was awesome in that screen representation, but I feel like that character is also just a favorite in general. Of all the female characters I hear spoken about in Shakespeare, I mean, obviously besides like Juliet,
right.
I feel like that's the one most of us hear, maybe the most. I could be very wrong, but I feel like when I was growing up at least, or in school, I heard a lot of fans of Ophelia because she does get some strong lines and she's got some strong, you know, scenes and influence in the story.
Would you say more so than Gertrude?
Oh, not as much influence, I think, to the plot of the story.
Well, sure. But I mean, well, like their status alone, I think, just sort of like as a result of that. But in regards to, you know, their the way they're received now, you know?
I don't know. I think she definitely gets more attention than Queen Gertrude does in just the modern conscious.
She's probably a bit more relatable, I think, to the average person.
I don't know. She's really interesting. But, I mean, her representation and influence, I mean, everybody takes it as they will.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got a really lasting impact in art and literature. And I think as far as Shakespeare's characters go, obviously with the exception of Juliet, Ophelia's artistic rendering kind of pushed her into a more immortal status as a female character of his, I think. You've seen the painting.
And her, like, demise and everything
like
that.
It's really interesting.
I mean, it's been – there's – yeah,
that painting is famous on its own without anybody even really knowing that that's what it is.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. And I mean, like, even besides like the one painting, like it would be it's been rendered like dozens upon dozens of times, like
culture.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just one moment in her character, but it's a pretty big one.
It's like that and like her handing out like the flowers as well and her sonnets.
Yeah, it's she's definitely interesting and she's definitely worth a look. So we were really excited to bring this on. I had her character on my little short list for episodes for, I mean, honestly, since the very beginning. If I was going to talk about a Shakespeare side character, it was going to be Ophelia. So I'm really excited at the chance to. But like I kind of mentioned earlier, there are a lot of awesome examples of tragic heroines, and I really don't think that she qualifies. I don't think she's any less awesome of a character.
Yeah.
But a heroine, she is not.
No, definitely not.
But if you're not familiar with the story, Ophelia is the daughter of Polonius, who is a member of the High Court, and she is also the sister of Laertes, who plays a huge part in the story with Hamlet. They have massive influence in the kingdom that Hamlet is returning to after his time away. And she is revealed at the very beginning to have had a romantic fling with Hamlet before we even know what the story is going to unfold as. From the get-go, it's clear that her family's expectations of her are to comply. She's expected to listen, obey, and serve, and just be a pillar of purity to become this model wife and mother someday. They make requests of her instantly from like the very moment her character is introduced. She's kind of being bossed around and she follows. It's just kind of her duty. She's very upright about it. But just as clearly to us, it becomes pretty apparent when we read or watch that Hamlet shows a really conflicting expectation of Ophelia. She's his old flame. And as Hamlet reunites with her, he thinks of her more as obviously a sexual object of attraction. And he becomes more and more frustrated with her as his own mental state deteriorates because he's got a lot going on and he's asking these things of her, expecting these things of her that are totally opposite to her social or familial expectations. Yeah. And it's just a mess for everybody.
Of Shakespeare's plays, like, not to suggest that any of the others that he composed were any less complex than Hamlet, but it, in my mind, it is like the play that is under the most duress whenever it comes to trying to be in the characters' like headspaces and understand the, like the psychology and conflicting emotions of the things that are going on. You know, it's fascinating. It really is.
Everybody's got so much at stake in this play.
Yeah. Except for, you know, like Horatio, who mostly just like vibes, you know. Anyway.
Well, you know, it's not like he's not being affected by
right. I know, but you know.
Anyway. But you know. Also not spared from that is Ophelia. And as Hamlet wears on her, she starts to plummet into her own turmoil of conflict between her family and his feelings. And as his mind descends, so does hers. Her descent into madness and torment kind of lead to her demise. And as the conflict in her mind become impossible to deal with, especially following the death of her father at the hands of Hamlet, albeit accidentally, a tragic heroine can't not be a heroine. You've got to have the heroine part to be considered a tragic heroine. It's just part of her story. And Ophelia doesn't reach that. She simply crumbles to the pressure of her circumstances. But kind of like I mentioned earlier, even though she's just tragic, from a literary perspective, I think that's fine. You know, I don't think every character has to step up. I think sometimes it's important to be able to see what it looks like to crumble. I think it doesn't automatically make her a bad character just because she doesn't step into that heroine role.
Mm-hmm. Just as you, so like you're sort of like arguing that like in this sense, like her just sort of like shattering is more, it's less about like seeing her as an idealistic like role model and more of like a warning or something.
I think you could take it as a warning. I think, I mean, obviously it's not good what happens to Ophelia in the story, but I think that when you look at the plight of women in Shakespeare's day or just, you know, sometimes at all in general. I think when you use Ophelia as a way to kind of demonstrate what goes on in, you know, kind of the collective mindset, it's kind of a really, I don't know, it's a cautionary tale. You aren't always expected to be the hero because sometimes you just can't be.
Yeah.
And the crushing thing about Ophelia is that it wasn't up to her. She succumbed to a tragedy that was not hers, and she had no tools at her disposal with which to deal with that tragedy. So I don't know, when I look at her character, I think it's pretty important to show readers of any age, I guess age in terms of like modern versus long past, but
right,
she kind of shows us that, look, when we're helpless, this is what happens. But if you can step into what you need, or if you're allowed to step into things to give you agency, then this sort of demise, you know, doesn't have to happen to you, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. She represents the individual just as much as she represents a collective in my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was like thinking about this basically in conjunction with what you said earlier, having seen, I mean, as a minor aside, you know, like that, when you saw it on the stage, basically in London, in which all the characters were like twisted, basically, to, you know, like men to female, female to men, you know, like on the one hand, it's not hard to see that like portions of her characterization and her ultimate like fate aren't something that can't be like universally appreciated. You know, there are going to be adversities in life. I mean, especially if you're going to be connected to someone, a character as tragic and as, you know, prolonged to despair as Hamlet would be, that there are going to be things in life that you can't really face, you know? So that's something that I think is universally appealing. But on the other hand, you know, the specific calls, and pressures that are basically placed on her, I think are uniquely female. And I think like swapping like the gender of like the character in that like sense with like the London play maybe like diminishes portions of that, at least in my mind. This is all, of course, as well coming from a man, so this, I might be like totally off base with this sort of stuff, and it's part of why I'm sort of like hesitant to even comment on it at all. But like I mentioned
at the beginning of the show, it wasn't that the characters had been swapped, it was that the actors simply portraying them were men in the roles of women. The characters were not interpreted any differently than what is classic. But I think when I read the story of Hamlet and Ophelia, it's a story of mental health. His deterioration is happening at the same time, and neither character has what they need to process it healthy. And it takes its toll. He is not free of the toll that it takes either. But I think with Ophelia especially, women having agency to the situations around them is just sort of a very pressing lesson, regardless of social circumstances.
Yeah, for sure.
We aren't all women of the high court, but we all deal with stressors. We all deal with issues, and keeping up with our mental health is a priority. I don't know. I think when I look at her and I see her fall to the trauma around her, I don't expect her to be a heroine, because, you know, part of me says, could you blame her? And part of me says, oh my gosh, what would you do if you weren't, you know, given the tools that you needed to stay on top of things.
Extreme circumstances, so, beyond extreme.
I don't know. I think characters like hers are important. Do we want people to step up and succeed? Yeah. Should people be able to step up and succeed? Yeah. This is what happens when they can't. It's not her fault. If she had been able to do it and failed, that would be kind of a different story. But I don't know. I think she's just a complicated one. And her not being a tragic heroine doesn't make her any less valuable in the literary lexicon that we have, I think. But that's my perspective. I don't know.
Yeah.
Her legacy is just a reminder that some things can't be dealt with when we don't have the means to do so. So you could think of her as a warning. And for the impact of the story, I think that's enough. Ophelia's death is a lastingly famous event, especially as depicted in the painting we mentioned earlier by John Everett Millais.
Mm-hmm.
His Ophelia painting in 1852. It's that very classic image where she's just sort of given up in the brook, and it's moments before she drowns in it. Some attribute her death as a suicide, but according to Act 4, Scene 7 of Hamlet, it's revealed by Queen Gertrude that she simply fell from a broken willow branch into the brook below. So interpret how you will. I don't know how difficult that situation would have been for her to get out of willingly, but if she wasn't in the right state of mind, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you could debate it, but her character has been reinterpreted in numerous representations of Hamlet-inspired stories that we've cherished for generations, from the Ethan Hawke and David Tennant versions to The Lion King and every kind of media in between. So if you think of how Ophelia has been, I guess, reimagined ever since Shakespeare's day, it's taken a few different shapes and sizes. I don't know. I don't even consider, like, if you're taking The Lion King, Nala's not really like Ophelia at all when it comes to, like, comparing the character traits.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
I mean, it's not there. I mean, outside of like being like a lover to Hamlet, they really share like basically no, like,
Nala steps up. Nala's not, like, super tragic.
She's not. But she's just kind of solid.
I mean, not that I would ask much of a Disney character to be, like,
yeah,
Ophelia tragic. That's pretty tragic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I think usually whenever Ophelia's character is taken and retold, they do kind of try to inject some strength, inject some heroism into her. I don't know that that's a bad thing. I do think that that has its merit, but, you know, I would kind of like to see some different, like, takes.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's so interesting to me.
Yeah. the way Aisha goes too, you know, it just seems so like appropriate, like drowning of all things for someone who has like succumbed to madness, just sort of like the subtext of it and the theming of
it's a very direct
like, metaphor. Yeah,
I think exactly. That's something that you see drawn a lot.
Yeah.
When it comes to struggles with mental health, I think people even just on their own will compare that to the feeling of drowning.
Yeah.
Whether or not they've drowned. I think the feeling of drowning is pretty distinct, but just sort of being able to visualize the weight and the growing weight and the pressure is definitely something that we can see her struggle with.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite retelling? You'll have to leave us a comment. You'll have to leave us a tweet at Undercast. What is your favorite Ophelia? What is your favorite retelling of Hamlet? There's definitely a lot to choose from, and we've had a lot of fun looking into these to prepare for this episode. So, as always, we're always pumped to hear from you, and I hope that you reach out. Was this episode the Shakespeare character you were looking for, or did you have something else in mind?
Okay, so, yeah, I think that just about does it, right? Do you have anything else? I think
that takes us towards the end.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in and sticking with us.
Yeah, for sure. If you want, just go ahead and, like, drop like a comment on whatever platform you're looking at. When we get those sort of suggestions,
that's, we've never not taken one.
Yeah.
Every suggestion you've sent has turned into an episode.
That's the sort of stuff that I think is the most interesting for us. You know, whenever it's coming from like an outside like recommendation, it's not something that we just immediately have like a bias for or anything like that. It's where those really interesting stories come from. So you leave something for us. Next time, we're very likely to end up picking up on it. So, you know, that's a plus if you want to hear about it.
Yeah, this is your show just as much as it is ours. Thank you, always. You'll have to check in next time when we do our factual character. It's always a good time over here on Understudies. And we appreciate you being a part of it.